The scripture reading this morning will be coming from Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. The man of God named Moses penned five books, Numbers of which is one of them. And in the previous chapter, we learn about how the 12 spies were sent into the land of Canaan to spy out the land. And we're going to read about one of these servants named Caleb who brought back a good report. Thus saith the Lord, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went and will bring descendant and his descendant shall inherit it.
What an honor it is for us to be here on this morning as we are in a new month, sixth month of the year. It's humbling to see how quickly time is moving on. Yet, we understand that time does not wait for anyone. And so, with that being said, this month we're going to be talking about fully following God. If you're visiting with us, you see the QR code. You can point your device to that QR code as you would in a restaurant or so forth, and you'll see the notes that we're going to be looking at on this morning. We're going to talk about Caleb this morning and how he depended upon God. And the more that I was considering this, I was thinking about how all of us have giants that we have to overcome. Yet, the way to overcome those giants, those obstacles, is through depending upon God. And as we were talking on last month concerning making God's choice, and really the whole year, we're talking about how when we make God's choice, we're actually making the right choice. And one thing we learned about Caleb always made the right choice. And so when we think about this particular month, we're going to be talking about character. And we're going to be looking at the character of Caleb, the character of David. We're going to be looking at Jesus and how he prayed. We're going to be looking at the character of the psalmist, Asaph. And we're going to look at Jehoshaphat. All this month, we're going to be looking at character. And one thing that we do know that God desires, he desires for us to have good character. He desires for our conduct to be what he desires it to be. And he desires for us to be a people of commitment. So I hope and pray that you'll make time this month to come and learn how you can better yourself. And I appreciate Brother Smithy and how he used Peter's account in just reminding us of the things that we already know. Perhaps we'll learn a few things, but I'm sure that we'll just be reminded of the character that God desires, and also when we consider the conduct that God desires, but we cannot forget the commitment that God desires. Let's look at Caleb. Caleb was from the tribe of Judah. And the reason why that's important is because Judah was that tribe that Jesus would come through. As a matter of fact, Jesus would be known as that lion out of the tribe of Judah, Revelation 5 and verse 5. It would be that great tribe that that in Genesis 49 in verse number 10, that Joseph would be naming his sons out of, if you will, and he would bless the tribe of Judah. And as a matter of fact, in Genesis 49 in verse number 10, it would be out of that particular tribe that our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ would come out of. Here, Caleb, he would be a man of order. He would command order. I'm reminded of when the children of Israel, as our brother Leon stated, would receive the commandment to go and spy out the land. And they were to come back and bring back the message that God would have them to bring back. Well, what message would that be? I'm going to give you this land, and it's a land that floweth with milk and honey. And he gave them all of the things that was going to be in that land. And sure enough, They went and they spied out the land after God had commissioned Moses to commission one leader out of every single tribe, one leader. And they went out for 40 days and they actually scoped out the land, if you will. And as they scoped out the land, they brought back message. And all 12 brought back the same message. It is a land that floweth with milk and honey. It is a land with pomegranate. As a matter of fact, we have the evidence right here. And they brought it on the pole. Yet there were 10. There were 10, Brother Eli, that came back with a negative report. There were 10 that came back and said that even though, yeah, God said that this is a land that flowed with milk and honey, and here's the evidence, we have it with us, but we can't take them. As a matter of fact, there are giants in the land as well. Also, those 10, they actually caused the people to become very disturbed. They caused the hearts of the people to melt, if you will. They caused God's people to actually disbelieve God, not trust God. Yet, we find Caleb in Numbers chapter 13, and if you notice in verse number 30, that Caleb, he quieted the people. He quieted the people. And he says something in verse number 30 that I believe all of us can take notice of. Why? Because every last one of us have giants that we have to look at. Every last one of us have things that we need to overcome. Perhaps when we consider even our own personal lives, not getting into the application right here. However, let me just say this one particular point. Every now and then there are things that overcome us, overwhelm us. Yet, if we don't have our eyes on God like we're supposed to, have our nose in the book, the Word of God, have our knees bowed down in prayer, trusting God, being around the people of God, we'll find ourselves just like the 10. We cannot take the land. Yet, we find Caleb. He depended upon God. And he says, let us go up at once and take possession. For we are well able to overcome it. Wow. He said, we're well able. We're not just going to go in there and just kind of scrape the end of the bucket. We're not just going to go in there and barely defeat the enemies who are in Canaan. No, we're well able. Why? He trusted God. He depended upon God. But if you notice in verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able. We're not willing. We're not able to go up against this people. They're stronger than we. And the people of Israel, well, they stopped trusting God right there. Friends, can I help us out real quick? You better be careful who you're listening to. Because when God's word says something, we got to fully believe it. And it reminds me of why didn't the children of Israel, first generation, go into the promised land? Hebrews 3, verse number 12, and also in verse number 19, is because of unbelief. They didn't believe God. And because of that, the people of God were stagnant. Because of that, God allowed them to dwell in the wilderness some 40 years, 1 year for every day. God said, I need you to trust me. But there was something about Caleb. It was different. See, Caleb wasn't that type of person that saw the giants, if you will. He wasn't that type of person that saw the land and said we couldn't take it. He wasn't that type of person that saw himself as a grasshopper in his own sight. No, sir, no, ma'am. Mm-mm. No. As a matter of fact, he was the opposite. He was the opposite in the fact that he believed God, he depended upon God, he trusted God. The more I thought about this, I think about how this man was willing to persuade the people to follow after God according to Numbers chapter 14 verses 6 through 9. Take notice of what the Bible says. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly a good land. The Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and he give it to us. A land which flowed with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Friends, here we find that Caleb, a man of God, one who trusted God, depended upon God, understood that God was with them. He wasn't with the enemy. Their protection had gone. They were no longer under the protection of Almighty God. God was going to have his people to go into Canaan's land that God promised Abraham, Brother Cortland, in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to give you this land. And now God is ready to make good on his promise. He's using Joshua and Caleb. Why? Because the first generation did not do well. Joshua and Caleb said, we can do this. One thing I learned about Caleb, he knew how to work alongside of another man of God. Can I say this? I know Brother Brian's not here, but the other three elders, we're here. It's good to be able to work alongside of men that you know love God. No trust issues there. We know where each one stands, that we're going to follow God. We're going to do what God says, and we're going to do our best to hold one another accountable. Joshua and Caleb were like that. They believe the message of God. Question, do you believe God? I truly believe most of our problem, most of Mike Bonner's problem sometimes is sometimes I just don't believe God. What about you? God's word does not change. His covenants does not change as it relates to the new covenant. His promises do not change as it relates to the new covenant. His hope does not change as it relates to what we have to look forward to. Do you believe that? Here we find this great man who is a team player. Did not take matters on his own hand. As a matter of fact, as it relates to him and his work with Joshua some 16 times, you'll find Joshua and Caleb working together. Friends, this man depended upon God. But why? Look at point two, because of his commitment. His commitment was awesome, amazing. He was dedicated, faithful. He was devoted. We learned something about this great man, Caleb, willing to accept the challenge. And he did accept the challenge. We need you to go out, spy out the land. He did that. Here's the message. He went out there. He saw the land, brought back the same message that God said. Friends, my responsibility and every gospel teacher and preacher's responsibility, every responsibility that we have is to say what God says. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Don't help it out. Just say what he says. Amen. And the more we consider that, we find this man committed. He's committed. Look at chapter 13 and look at verse number 20. He was told to bring evidence of God's word and he did it. He brought back that evidence, according to verse number 27, and take notice of verse number 27. Look at your text. It's very interesting here. We'll start at verse 26. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel. This is after they'd been there 40 days. At Kadesh, they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flowed with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. This is the evidence. I was talking to Brother Evan this week and we were talking about this text. And we found great joy in this text. Because God told them, this is what you're going to find. This is what you're going to see. And I need you to cut it off and I need you to bring it back. Hold on. Cut what off? Cut off the things in which I tell you to cut off and bring back the evidence on a pole. What was he cutting off? Pomegranates, grapes, so forth and so on. Hold on. He wasn't over in Canaan's land cutting off dead things, brethren. He was cutting off life. It made me think about us as the church. And how we have the responsibility to go out into the world and let them know that there's life inside the church. There's life. And so as we go out and we're talking about the gospel, we're going out, we're talking about eternal life, going out talking about moral living, commitment and devotion. We're going out, we're talking about how we're supposed to be a people who love God with all our heart, soul, and mind and love our neighbor as ourselves. We're going out there talking about these things. Hey, there's death on the outside of the ark. There's death on the outside of the church, but there's life on the inside of the ark and there's life on the inside of the church. There was life inside of Canaan. He says, that's where I'm taking you. And so they brought the evidence of life. Question. How much life do you have in you right now? I would venture to say that we would probably do better. You do whatever you want to with this. It's free. If we would learn how to smile more, even in the midst of difficult times. Life is hard all by itself. You ought to make it easier by having the attitude that I think I can make it through this. Job said in Job 14:1, man born of woman's few days full of trouble. You would think, I'm going out here with these 11 men, Caleb, and we're going to go out there, we're going to spy out the land, do exactly what God tells us to do. We're going to see the evidence and bring the evidence back. We go back and sure enough, this is exactly the way it was. Here's the evidence. And now you hear these 10 and they're saying things that God didn't say. I can only imagine, Brother Royce, what was going on in Caleb's mind. Well, hold on. Did I not see something? Hold on. Did I miss something when we were there? But it demonstrated what was in their minds. Question, what's in your mind? There are a lot of situations in life, and life has a way of bringing things into our lives. But we have to have the Christ-like mentality, the overcoming mentality, the dependence-like Caleb mentality, either while we're going through it or before we go through it. Brother Ryan, life is tough, but life is good. And it's good because God is in life. Brother Mike, you don't understand what I go through. Don't have to. I do know this. The very fact that God sent his son, who did nothing wrong, said nothing wrong, thought nothing wrong, and he came down here and lived this life, and he pleased his father, I believe we can too. And the very fact that he was on the cross, and the Hebrews writer gives us a glimpse into the mind of Christ in Hebrews 12 and verse number 2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, watch this, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy that was before him? Hold on. Jesus, the life that you live was a joy? Jesus, the beating that you took was a joy. Jesus, knowing that you was going to go and sit at the right hand of the Father was a joy, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That man was committed. That man had great character. And that's the next thing we want to talk about with Caleb. Caleb's character was pristine. It was precise. And the more I think about Caleb, the more I want to be like him. I want to be like Caleb. You should have a desire to be like Caleb. Why? Because this man depended upon God. Even in the face of the 10 who say that we cannot take the land, even in the face of the congregation whose house melted because of the message of the 10, he stood up before them, rent his clothes, and said, we can do it. The more I think about this man's character, the more I see that I need to work on my own character. Question, what about your character? Look at the text that was read in our hearing by our dear brother, Brother Leon. Look at that text. There's something when men say certain things about you, when your family say certain things about you, fine. But when God says something about you, I tell you, that changes the whole game. Why is that? Notice what God said about Caleb. But my servant Caleb, because he has, the King James renders, another spirit, a different spirit in him. And he followed me. Now watch this text. He followed me fully. Wow. He followed me fully. The implication there is that exactly what God told him to do, he did it to a T. Well, Brother Mike, that's none of us. Oh, we can't think like that. That should not be our thought process. Our thought process is, I want to be like Caleb. I want to follow God fully. And sometimes, Sister Evelyn, following God fully is saying, I'm sorry. Sometimes following God fully is saying, I didn't get that right. Sometimes following God fully is when I'm overcome with fear. And I think about the great passage of Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 7, that God has not given you the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. Wow. It's not about being fearful. It's about, as Brother Chad would say on many occasions, what do I do with the fear? What do I do with it? What do I do with the fear? Friends, that means that my character must be in place. My character is that I trust God, that I take him at his word, and that I allow him to etch my heart with his word. No wonder, I think about the great passages, not going to go into these, Romans 6, verses 17 and 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the whole chapters there. Friends, God's word has to be etched in our heart. We must have the character of Christ, having that particular character just like Caleb, that God can say, he's different. He stands out. Joshua and Caleb were different men. And so, if you consider, look at chapter 14 again, and look at verses 8 through 10. Notice the type of man that Caleb was. Chapter 14, starting at verse number 8, if you take notice of it, notice what he says here, and it's very interesting. He says, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Notice how he gave God the glory. It will be God that will actually bring us to the land and give us the land. It's God. Well, hold on. Caleb, do you need to show up? Yes. Do we need to show up as the people of God, as Israel? Yes. Friends, God is not going to do the work for us. He has already given us the command. Now he's saying, you go do it. Go get it done. Some in the denominational world believe that it's all on God. The only thing I need to do is just be there. No, you got to do something. You got to do something. God is not just going to open up doors. God is not just going to do things. He wants to see, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And so this man, according to verses 8 through 10, he gives God glory for his success. And notice, he says, I wholly followed the Lord. Moses said that he followed the Lord. God said he followed me. Look at his conduct. Look at point number 4. Because when I think of all of the enemies that Israel had to face, and I think about Caleb and how he led the charge against the Anakim, against the giants, against the people of the land. Why? Because he was fulfilling what God said. It caused me to think about even us as Christians today. Because there are some giants in our own personal lives. And sometimes it's not sin, brethren. Let me say that again. Because when I think about the Hebrews writer again, when he said, lay aside every sin, every weight, and the sin of unbelief there in the text, Brother Royce. Lay aside the weighty things, the things that cause you to be bogged down in life. here. You have the people of the land. You have the giants. You have the Anakin. It's like, hold on, what's going on here? And the people, their hearts are melted. The people are discouraged. He had to quiet them down. And he says, we can take it. We can do it. We can do this. And I believe sometimes as the people of God, we just need a pep talk to say, you know what, I can do this. But when you're around negativity all the time, when you're around people that don't trust God, when you're around the things that weigh you down all the time, I see why you don't want to believe that you can't make it. I'm not talking about us in here. I'm talking about the people of God here. But if the shoe fit, brethren, we need to wear it sometimes. We need to wear it. I tell myself all the time, Mike, if God does nothing else for you, he's done enough. He's given you eternal life. I have the hope of eternal life. One day I'm going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll make you rule over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. I'm going to hear those words one day. If God did nothing else, if I lost everything, I'm going to hear those words. Brother Mike, that's easier said than done. Who's to say that going to heaven is supposed to be easy? And even the Apostle Paul would say in Acts chapter 14, verse 23 and following, he said, through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom of God. Through much trouble, we enter into heaven, if we could say it that way. So look at Caleb. What did he do? He trusted God. His conduct showed that he trusted him. His conduct demonstrated some things. Turn your Bible to the book of Joshua. Turn your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Brother Cortland, he had that inheritance in front of him. He knew what was coming. This man of God understood that if I continue to work out my salvation, if I continue to trust God, he's going to take care of me. His conduct proved it. He was willing to fight the enemies. I truly believe sometimes that we're not willing to fight the enemy. Friends, we have to fight the enemy even if the enemy is me. Most of the time when I look in the mirror, if I can just get past the man in the mirror, I can go fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. But sometimes, even as men of God, we find ourselves giving up the fight. Hold on. The fight is already won. It's a fixed fight. In America, you can go to jail if you fix fights. But this fight is fixed. Just show up. No wonder we're supposed to put on the whole armor of God. No wonder we're supposed to trust him with all of our hearts. No wonder we have to believe who he is. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Look at verse 14. Start at verse 13. Now to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a share among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, namely Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron. Arba was the father of Anak. Notice what Caleb did. Brother Freisinger, when I think about Brother Caleb, I think this man here was a man. This man here was looking at the enemy, Brother Daniel, and say, we can take it. We need more men like this. And we need more men to teach their young men to be men like this. Okay, you have an enemy in front of you. Okay, you have an obstacle in front of you. Okay, there's some fear going on. Okay, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to tuck tail and run. No, sir, no, ma'am. I'm not. What am I going to do? 2 Corinthians 13, 8, the Bible says, well, we can do nothing against the truth but for it. Friends, truth always prevails. Truth always wins. Stand on truth. Whatever the truth is, in any category, in any context, stand on the truth, and whatever comes your way, let it come. Notice verse 14. Notice this man of God. Notice what he says. Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there, Sheshai, Iman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. Hold on, what did he do? He drove them out. He drove out the forces. Gotta have this attitude. The world that we live in, especially during the pandemic, Brother Royce, we're trying to make males, men, be like women. No. The Bible demonstrates to us in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 13, be strong, quit ye like men. We need men to be men. We need spiritual men to be men. We need Calebs. We need Joshua's. We need Moses's. We need Aaron's. Here, this man of God drove out the forces of evil. And at times, we need to drive out the forces of evil, even in our own mind. And the only way to clear out those things is to have the Word of God in our hearts. Again, we got to have our minds on God's Word. We have to have our noses in the book, the Bible, James 1, 21 through 25. We have to make sure that we put it into action. Jesus say, why call ye me Lord, Lord? Do not the things which I say. Mike, make sure that you keep your mind on God. Cast your mind on things that are above, not on things on the earth. Why? For your life is hidden with Christ in God. Man, I tell you, it makes sense. God just wants us to be strong. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because the evil days are coming. Why? Because the enemy is not going to turn around just because you stand up. No, you got to stand on the word of God. Here, Joshua and Caleb understood the promises of Almighty God. Caleb especially had a different spirit. He understood what God said, and he went and he did it. He did it. He did it. And so what did he do? He led with confidence. What did he do? He took out the giants. What did he do? He shut down the negative people in the land. What did he do? He knew that we were well able to take the land. And so it caused me to think about some things. Because one thing we do know about this great man, look at chapter 14 as we come to some type of closure. And if you will, be patient with me. Let's start at verse number 6. Because this man's conduct caused him to act in a way that I believe if we understood what we was looking at, some Christians will stop tuck-tailing and running. And the more I think about men like Elijah when he was running from Jezebel after his great defeat of the 450 prophets of Baal. And here come God, here come Jehovah, and he says, Elijah, what are you doing? Elijah, rise and eat. Elijah, what are we running from? Why are we running? Evelyn said something the other day. It's interesting that when people go through difficult times in the church, guess what they do? They run away from the church when you ought to be running to the church. What are we running to? Look at this great man of God. After he divides the land, notice what the Bible here says. Then the children of Judah, verse 6, came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me at Kadesh Barnea. Remember, Moses is dead now. But here the words of Moses are still ringing true. Why? Because God spoke to Moses. And here we have Joshua, who's going to be taking the children of Israel into the promised land. We're already in that particular arena. Now, notice what he says in verse number 7. And we see the conduct of this man. We see the character of this man, the longevity of this man, the consistency of this man. He said, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Said a lot right there. Those 10 men who brought back that negative report, God was exposing what was in their heart. Here, I brought back what was in my heart. Caleb, what was in your heart? What God told me. You better watch what you put in your heart. Proverbs 4 and verse number 23, guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. What's in your heart? For whatever comes, whatever's in your heart is going to come out. And so notice what he says in verse number 8. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly follow the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever. Why? Because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 10. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. Notice, he's given God the glory, Brother Eric. He gave God the glory. And he said, for these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while in Israel, wandered in the wilderness, and now, here, I am this day, 85 years old, and yet I am as strong as I was. The consistency of the man of God. There's something when you see a child of God, I'm done. There's something when you see a child of God obey the gospel. And Brother Royce, here it is, 40 years later, 50 years later, 60 years later, they're still on the battlefield. Ups and downs? Yes. Knocked down? Yes. Righteous man falling 7 times, gets up? Yes. But we got to have the attitude of Peter. If I'm going to inherit this land, if I'm going to march on to Canaan's land, I got to have the attitude of Peter. When the Lord said, will you leave also? Peter said, to whom shall I go? You have the words of eternal life. Wow. Notice, he says in verse number 11, as yet I am strong, as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. And just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. Now, therefore, here's the point, Cortland. Give me this mountain. Give me my inheritance. Oh, he wasn't demanding it in a very awkward way. He wasn't demanding it as he was telling God what you're going to do. God gave him a promise. He said, give it to me. Wow. On that day of judgment, we could stand before God and we could say, Father, give me what you promised me. Give it to me. I trusted you. I believed in you. I did what you said. And by your grace and by your mercy, I made it. I'm here. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Now, therefore, verse 17, give me this mountain which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there and that the cities were great, fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. I said all that to say this. We're going to fully follow God. It's going to take everything we got. You just can't sit there and drop and tuck tail and run when it gets tough. So what? The forces of evil in the church or out of the church are facing you. What are you going to do? Y'all pray for me. Because I'm faced with stuff like that. But if God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Listen, listen, listen. We got too many. Got too many. Even amongst us in the church, we got too many. We're tuck-tailing and running. Tuck-tailing and running gets a little tough. What are we going to do? We're going to run. No, we don't run. We don't run. We stand. Where do we stand? We stand where God stands. That's it. You don't have to be ugly. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be like what the devil wants you to be. You can be just like Michael the archangel. I will not dare or durst say a railing accusation. The Lord rebukes thee. Here's the point. Caleb depended upon God. We need to as well. And wherever the chips fall, they fall. Next week, talk about David. Oh, y'all come back. A lot of times we want to talk about the sweet singer of Israel, but David was a warrior. He was a fighter. But he was a man that God says is after my own heart to do all of my will. Wow. Just have a word of prayer and I'll offer the invitation. Holy God and Father in heaven, hallowed be your high and your holy name. You're good to us. You're so good to us, Father, that you have given us your Son, given us eternal life, given us the church, given us the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Pray to Father that we'll be a people like Caleb who depend upon you, who trust you. Father, help us to have a resolve to be a people of commitment and courage and confidence, who understand what we ought to do and what we need to do in order to be pleasing unto you, Father. Father, I ask that you be with the ninth and main congregation in a very special way. Be with those who are visiting with us. Bless them according to your will. Help us, Father, to have a mentality that we fight the good fight of faith. And that whatever comes our way, whether it's the people of the land or the giants, we know that we will win. No matter the circumstances. We love you, Father. We ask that you forgive us when we fall short. Help us to strive to be a people of righteousness. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to obey the gospel. But we want to study with you. We want you to know that you're doing what is right. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of sins, confess Christ to be Lord, and be buried in water for the remission of your sins. God will do something amazing in your life. He'll cleanse your conscience from dead works. Now you can serve him, Hebrews 9:14. He'll add you to his son's church, Acts 2 and verse number 47. Live faithful. Give you the crown of life. Maybe a child of God, and well, your heart's melting. You're just running away from everything. Stop. Stop. And as the Hebrews writer says, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. As we stand, as we sing, to save his invitation.